I feel like I take care of myself in so many ways, in so many aspects of like, that's what being an adult is. And I'm like proud of myself and glad that I've learned to take care of myself in a lot of ways. But I just want to break from it sometimes. And so sex can be one place where you get a break from who you usually are and what the dynamics usually are. Hey, welcome back. We're Not For Everyone. We're a podcast hosted by a hater and a lover. Caroline and I are here, but we're here with a special guest.
A spirit.
Spirit, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name's Abby Newhouse. I edit the podcast.
That's right. It's our producer, Prince. We're all in DC together. I'm in town, and we decided to record in person because it's our 69th episode.
Wow.
Huge moment.
This is huge.
Bigger than anything that will ever happen for us, I think. I'm pretty sure that's how I feel about
it. This is the only thing. This is the only milestone I've been thinking about. We didn't celebrate a million listens. We didn't celebrate 50 episodes. We didn't really celebrate a year, but I've been thinking about episode 69.
It's super celebratory.
Yeah.
It's going to get weird.
Mm-hmm.
We have some interesting things in store. We don't know how they're going to go. So, you know.
Yeah.
We'll just see.
We never do.
But before we get there, Caroline, tell me what's been on your mind.
Oh, I want to know if people relate to this. I've been having, not the specific, but the general concept. I've been having like intrusive thoughts about the Berenstain Bears. by which I mean like where it's happened a few times. Literally, I got like this laser thing on my face the other day. And when I closed my eyes, I was just thinking about the Berenstain Bears. All of a sudden, like nothing prompted it. I wasn't trying to. Nothing jogged my memory. I wasn't choosing it.
Right.
Three times.
You.
Yeah.
The Berenstain life chose you.
And it was like the third time it had happened. And when it happened the third time, I was like, what does this mean? Do you ever get that where you're like,
with them specifically?
Not with them, but either with an intrusive thought where you're like, that's so random. Why do I keep thinking about this? Or with something that pops up like, I referenced Gertrude Stein in a video the other day and someone left a comment. They were like, that's the third time someone said Gertrude Stein to me today. Like that kind of thing where you're like, what is it? When it happens like three times and it's something random, I'm like,
yeah,
what does it mean? I'm not so.
Stitious.
Stitious? I'm not
you're
so just, stitious.
You're not superstitious? You're
but
just a little
I am.
Stitious.
I am a little stitious and I will be like, what does it mean? I'm having intrusive thoughts about the Berenstain Bears.
So interesting. I understand definitely the thing of like somebody says something and then
you hear it
everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's like, is it coming up more or is it just that I'm noticing it more? So that definitely. Intrusive thoughts. I mean, I get into intrusive thoughts. Last night, we all had a sleepover.
Did we?
Well, good question. Good clarification. We started to have a sleepover and then like an hour into all of us sleeping or laying here at Caroline's.
Tell it from your perspective.
What okay, it so like? Caroline and Abby are in bed in Caroline's bedroom. I'm on the couch. The lights are off. Everyone's tucked in nighty night. And like maybe 45 minutes later, I just hear some rustling and I open my eyes and Abby's in the living room. Like getting her stuff together. And I wasn't sure if you were getting like just getting something that you needed to sleep or something or if you were like trying to kill me, like it was somewhere on that spectrum. And then I kind of figured out because you were like waiting by the door and holding your phone. I was like, oh, okay. I think she's going to leave because she's like having a hard time sleeping here. By the same token, like I also was having intrusive thoughts that you were gonna kill me.
Yeah.
You know?
To be clear, yeah, both of you give me a mic. To be clear, in my living room, Abby's standing at the door and Justice is sleeping here. You're like 8 feet apart and at no point did Justice go, hey, Abby, what are you doing? Jess was just laying there being like, is she gonna stab me?
Yeah, I was just in my head like, what's she doing? What, am I safe? And then once you left, it was weird because at first I thought you were the killer.
Right.
Then you left and I was like, okay, she's cool. She's just going home. Then I was like, now Caroline and I are here alone. What's that mean for my safety?
Yeah.
So it was a very strange night. And then I thought I was haunted.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. This is...
Which is a topic.
I think this is the important update. Yeah.
It is haunted.
Wait, you didn't tell me that.
You felt the haunting?
Yeah, I definitely felt the haunting.
Why? I didn't know that.
Say more.
I feel like I was laying in bed and we said goodnight. And then it was just dark and there was like...
It was dark.
I had like... I have my eye mask because obviously I'm a weird sleeper and that's part of why I had to leave. I was just like, I actually can't. My body was like, no.
Yeah.
And so, but I like lifted up my eye mask because I was like, what's in the corner?
Oh my God. This is my entire night. This is 30 minutes. This is 30 minute long activity before I go to sleep every night.
It started to make sense to me.
I have to keep checking. And sometimes I have the thought where I'm like, if you keep checking what's in the room, if you keep looking, if you keep turning on lights, like I'll turn on the lights to check. Yeah. I'm like, that's probably just going to incur the fear because it just makes you feel more and more scared. Like there's something. And I'll tell myself, like, stop checking. But it feels like you have to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I felt that.
I'm not. Oh, my God.
I felt something. I don't think I've ever asked myself,
shut up,
am I being haunted right now? Like I've never related to the experiences that you've described on the podcast about feeling spooked and haunted and whatever. And last night I was like, there's something going on here.
Oh, like, my God.
I was able to talk myself off the ledge.
How am I supposed to live?
Okay, I want to say, first of all, I don't think it's the apartment. This has been my entire life. I think it's me. I think it's following me.
I'm not kidding.
Like, I don't actually think something's happening, but like, it is the way that you feel in this apartment and that you're validating how I felt. This is my entire life.
Right.
I don't think personally that whatever it was felt malevolent.
No, but it also didn't feel that nice.
I think it's like an angry mother.
Wow.
I think it's somebody looking down on you, but not like they're going to murder you. I think they're just kind of like,
ew.
But it's not like protective either.
No, it's not.
No.
It's like, I'm watching you energy.
Shut the fuck up.
But I can't tell if I'm making this up. Like, I can't
That's
tell.
That's the thing. Are we just talking ourselves into it?
I don't know. But last night I was laying there being like, am I talking myself into it? Because I think Abby getting up was the first moment of like, I feel a little weirded out, but I understand what happened. I can move on now. But then I kept feeling weird. And I don't know if it was just a reaction to her getting up or if it was. Yeah. And then once I was feeling weird, I was like, well, Caroline has said it's haunted.
Yeah.
And then it's a cycle that I'm like, am I convincing myself or do I actually feel
it
that
is
way?
A little bit of a cycle, but that's what I'm saying, where it's like, it's not necessarily a creak in the night or something. Yeah. It's just like, if I don't want to feel this way and I'm feeling this way against my will, it creeps me out more, kind of. Also, I didn't even say, while Abby and I were falling asleep, this isn't a haunted podcast, we'll move on. But while Abby and
it is an intrusive thoughts podcast. It's an intrusive thoughts podcast. Yeah.
But as Abby and I were falling asleep, like, we just said goodnight, and I felt something brush my toe, and I like looked up to be like, oh, I guess she doesn't have enough room, or she's kicking me or something. Abby was completely still. She wasn't anywhere near me, wasn't touching me. And then a second thing happened. I can't remember what it was. And there was no explanation. It creeped me out. It wasn't Abby. And I did what I have to do every night, which is just like, well, I have to sleep here. And I just went on with my evening.
Right.
That's how most of it wraps up, is like, I guess they'll get me if they feel like it.
Right.
I don't think they feel like it either, but they haven't like cultivated enough other engaging interests of their own.
They're still like sort
There's
of
a lot
dabbling.
Of hobbies you could do in this apartment. You could read books, you could do art stuff,
like they're not
you could eat candy.
Yeah, they're not disinterested in haunting me.
Yeah. So I have something to bring up about last night that I've been saving.
Oh.
And it's a good segue into episode 69.
Oh.
And I hope you're not uncomfortable by this, but I think it's fine.
Oh no. Okay, what'd she do? No. What'd she
do? Did you have a sex dream?
Oh my God, what? No.
There was a moment in the night where you said like, oh yeah. I swear to God. Or it was a ghost. Or it was one of the ghosts. I'm not sure.
The only thing I remember is I had a stress dream. I had bad dreams last night. Okay. I don't remember the details, but they were like haunting related. There was something where like a baby was in danger.
It sounded pleasurable, but...
Maybe I don't remember that dream.
Yeah, maybe it's a dream you don't remember. Or again, maybe it's a ghost. Abby was gone, so it wasn't Abby. It wasn't me because I heard it. I don't know. It was a very pleasurable, oh yeah.
Oh, good for you.
I know.
What do you mean, because
for me. I have no memory or experience of this. I had nightmares. I had nightmares and Abby left me.
You don't remember every dream.
I don't feel good. So what do you mean good for me? It didn't even happen to me.
Yeah, fair. But good for your sleeping.
Oh, I've just now been just been
good for me. Good for me. I'm like, oh yeah, she's fucking getting it.
I do talk in my sleep. Yeah, I do. Okay. I do talk in my sleep. Yeah.
Do you wear earplugs? I noticed you were wearing earplugs, right?
Yes.
Do you wear them for to stop yourself from hearing your
from
own
hearing
speech
me
in your sleep?
No, I don't hear myself ever.
Okay.
That's just to stop myself from hearing the spirits. The spirits.
There were creaks, and it was because it was raining.
There do be creaks,
and
too.
And because you live in, like, I don't actually know if this is an older building, but it's like a three-story walk-up type of thing where you can, like, hear steps of your neighbors a little bit.
Yeah.
And so there were those things.
For some reason, you guys confirming all this isn't creeping me out that much.
Good.
It's kind of making it feel more fun.
I think it's fun.
It is.
It's something we can share.
Yeah.
Justin's never confirmed this for you, has he?
No.
He's not leaning in. That's why I think we're leaning in. Or maybe they're only interested in women.
I think it is. That's why an angry mom spirit sounds right, because moms love Justin. And so I feel like, yeah, I think he's not getting it at all.
Okay.
Can I tell you something about moms and bears to bring it back?
Bears.
Always.
And dreams. My mom has this dream book that's, like, pretty famous in our family because it's really stupid. Like, I have dreams about spiders all the time. And she's like, oh, it means something's bugging you.
So it's a dream book. She didn't write the book. No. It's like it explains your dreams.
Got it.
She did not write the book. But what it says about bears and your intrusive thoughts is that something's unbearable.
You're joking.
I'm not
Who
joking.
Who wrote this book?
I don't know.
Honestly.
A genius.
They lost all their credibility. I'm out. I don't think we get to do that.
You don't like dream puns?
I don't like puns in general.
Because then that only works in the English language. Doesn't work in any other language.
But in other languages, having a dream about a bear means you're loving
I'm
it.
I'm trying to think about, like, bear in French. L'ours.
Oh, yeah, it is.
L'ours. Unlearnable. No, it doesn't work.
Okay, speaking of dreams, for episode 69, we did ask our listeners to submit their sexual, I think I phrased it, erotic fantasies on Instagram. For some reason, I felt weird about putting the word sexual on our Instagram story, and I decided erotic was better.
Interesting, the way you choose to censor
it. I was like,
yourself.
My mom's going to see this. Erotic, definitely.
Oh, your mom watches?
Yeah, she follows our Instagram.
Oh my God, my mom could not give less shits about the podcast.
No, but doesn't Lauren love me?
She just doesn't. She does.
A pregnant pause.
What I wanted to say is it's not about you. It's whatever. She's like, should I listen to that? I was like, not with that attitude.
My mom doesn't listen to our episodes because I've asked her not to. And I actually do believe her that she doesn't listen to them.
So,
but she follows our Instagram. She'll see little snippets.
I could never tell my mom that she shouldn't listen or that I wouldn't like her to. Guaranteed listen.
Okay.
Guaranteed listen.
Interesting. Yeah. I actually do believe her. I've told people that before.
Yeah,
like,
no.
I told my therapist that. And she's like, are you sure? And I'm like, I actually really do trust that my mom listened to what I said on this. Because I explained it to her as like, it's not like I'm talking about you all day, Mom. I mean, we all know I do talk about my relationship with my mom, but it's nothing that she doesn't know.
Yeah.
And I really do censor it, and I'm careful about the way I talk about it still. So it's not that it's like I don't want her to hear certain things. It's more I don't want to feel guarded when we're recording.
Totally.
And if I know my mom's listening, that's like the number one person that I'll feel guarded about.
Yeah.
Like,
you'll change how you talk.
I'll change how I talk and how I am.
Yeah.
So that's why. And I explained that to her and she was like, I get it.
That's how I feel about the comment section. Like, the reason I don't, like, if Spotify ever creates a comment section like they have on YouTube, I'll be like, I'm out.
Yeah.
Because I can speak so differently in the podcast than I can
that's
on
the
YouTube.
Beauty of a podcast.
Yeah.
Totally. And that's why we're going to talk about erotic
fantasies. Okay, keep going. My bad.
So we got some submissions, not too many submissions. I guess the story hasn't been posted for more than like overnight, but we got enough, I think, to work with. Do you agree, Prince?
Yeah. Okay. We're going to work through some erotic fantasies.
Prince is going to read us some erotic fantasies that she's selected from our submissions, and we're going to react. We're going to do act outs. We're going to do whatever moves us.
Yeah, we're going to say which ones are right and which ones are wrong.
I think that's true. So give us something and let's just see. We have no plans for this segment beyond what I just said, so we'll see how it goes.
Okay, some of them were like kind of serious, but I'm going to try and give you, I'm going to go with this one first, okay? So in their fantasy, they are a virgin and a respected older man has to teach them everything about their body and sex.
That's correct.
That's a classic. That is a classic. Either that's a classic to me, that's like a foundational story. That's probably the foundation of like every sex fantasy that I, and I'm going to go ahead and say most women have, is just like,
I don't know anything.
Yeah. This weird is just a baby.
Literally, didn't somebody write that? Yeah. Somebody wrote, I'm baby in the submissions. I tried not to read them, but there were a couple that I saw. It's correct.
Read it again. Older man.
Respected
older man.
I love that. Yeah. Respected.
Distinguished. A distinguished scholar teaches you the art and the science of your body.
So for me, an important addition in my version of that, I wonder if this applies to her too. An important addition is that like, this doesn't do much for him. He doesn't really care. He's not lascivious. He's just like, I have to help you with this because look at you. You're pathetic. And this is the same way I have to teach you how to like use a laundromat as you're growing up or something. Yeah. I'm gonna show you this. And
yeah, exactly. He's not bothered by it.
I don't even care.
Oh, yeah,
but like, he's not excited about
he's
it.
He's casual. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He doesn't really care.
He doesn't care about you.
That's important.
He doesn't care about you, but he does want to take advantage of you, so he needs you to know enough but not too much, right? It's kind of like that movie Poor Things. Did you see that?
I didn't see it.
It was, did you see
it? Yeah, okay. I did.
I liked it, but I know it was kind of divisive. It's a very artsy movie, and I would not consider myself a very artsy person or a very artsy movie person or whatever.
Whenever I hear artsy movie, to me, I hear like, okay, not entertaining. You have to work really hard to appreciate the symbolism.
Yeah.
I don't want to see it.
I felt that the symbolism was blatant, that being said. Like, it was very...
What's the symbol?
What's one symbol? It's like a story about... it's a story about, like, I don't know.
She's dead.
Traditional gender roles and like feminism in a weird like backwards type of way, and misogyny and like father, like daddy issues and God. Like, do you get it?
I see where this relates to the sex fantasy. Yeah,
it's and there's a lot of sex in it, not with the father figure. Ew. But the father figure is the reason why this girl is kind of like fucked up. It's very, I'm not going to explain the whole thing because I think it's worth watching.
All right, maybe I should watch the movie.
What did you think of it, Abby? You can say you didn't like it.
I did and I didn't. I actually felt, okay, so context. Before I watched this, I watched Saltburn, which everybody was freaking out about.
Going on at the same time.
Yeah, and everybody was like, oh, the bathtub scene. You've never seen anything like this. And I remember watching Saltburn and I was kind of like, I think I've seen worse. I think I have.
Probably.
And so when I watched, I was actually surprised when I watched Poor Things. I was like, I'm more unnerved by Poor Things.
Interesting.
Than I am by like something that was like supposed to be the most shocking thing in the whole of 2023.
Yes.
So I don't know.
I understand what you're saying. I've heard that take that like everybody's freaking out about Saltburn and like the like eroticism on display in that movie. It's very overt. And in Poor Things, it's hidden behind the artsiness in a way. But at the same time, like 50% of the movie is Emma Stone having sex, completely naked.
Oh.
You know, so her character. So I understand the criticism. And it is unnerving in a different, I didn't watch Saltburn. Did you?
I did, yeah. And I feel like it did shake me mostly. It just depressed me. And I think some of the scenes were shocking. I think they're the kinds of scenes that are less shocking when everyone hypes up how shocking they are. Then you watch it and then you're like, oh, that was weird, I guess. It was more shocking, I think, when you are not expecting it. But also, I almost wanted to equate the whole movie. The whole movie is kind of like a superficial. It doesn't get that deep or interesting, actually. Mm. It's like a lot of, I want to say gore porn, but it's not gore. It's actual porn.
Yeah.
But it's like erotic porn. Like, it's just like, ugh, what about that? Ugh, what about that? It's like shock porn.
Yeah.
And doesn't really go that deep. I was mostly shocked by, like, I was kind of long-term affected by how depressed I was when people started dying and the family was just acting chill about it.
Yeah.
Kind okay. of. That made me really depressed. Or like a family falling apart, that made me depressed.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I didn't watch it because I had heard pretty much about the three main like scenes, like the bathtub yeah. and the graveyard and like one other thing or something. And like the period or something. Like I yeah. feel like oh, yeah. maybe those were
separate Wait, why scenes. Did this come up related to
I don't know.
Sex dreams.
But anyway, I didn't watch it because I had heard everything about like the quote unquote shocking scenes. And yeah. I was like, I don't need to watch this anymore because I know what they're trying. I don't know. I like know what it is in my head already.
Okay. So do any of us have any objections to the sexual and erotic
no.
fantasy?
Abby?
That's good.
It's really good.
It's good. It's correct.
It's the right one to start on.
Yeah.
It's a good appetizer.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay. Next one. I have no idea what this is, so I would like to know if you guys know what this is. Catwoman 2011 animated short film seen at 9 minutes and 10 seconds always gets me wet.
That is so specific, and I love that this person knows exactly where they need to go on YouTube down to the timestamp.
Should we look it up?
To get a little horny. Yeah, I think we should.
Wait, Catwoman 2011.
It's a cartoon. I do love that this is an animation.
Yeah.
It's on track with what we've talked about.
That's
cartoon
correct.
Crushes.
That's already correct.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Animation.
You know, I hate to bring my dad up, but 9/10 is his birthday. September 10th.
Wow.
Is that something?
That is something.
Okay, we're gonna intermission while we watch.
Now we're at 9 minutes 10 seconds. It is a shot of a highway with two cars on it. Gets me wet. That looks like a butt.
Get that load out.
Oh, I would love if it's a gay scene. These are two like mobsters.
I don't see Catwoman.
No, it's just right. trucks. There's nothing remotely sexual. There's a duck. Should I go back to the duck? Ooh, what is this? These are hot girls in a cage. I don't know if we're watching the right thing. Okay, we don't understand. We watched the movie.
It was a good try.
I'm gonna give them something.
It was action scenes.
It was action scenes.
And trucks.
It was men in trucks.
Yeah.
The one man had like what I call a dirty accent, which is like New York or Boston or whatever. And I have such a thing for a dirty accent.
Yeah.
Like I eat it right up. And so I could, when that part happened, the man was in the truck and he spoke and that was the accent. I was like, maybe there's something there.
The other night, I, speaking of intrusive thoughts, I all of a sudden was imagining Justin, who's very much not a dirty accent, and I love his little proper boy, but I was imagining him as like one of the like Green Street hooligans, like soccer fans who like get into fights and they're like from fucking wherever the fuck they're from.
Like in the UK.
Yeah, in like dirty UK.
Yeah.
And like I was imagining like a chain around his neck.
That's hot.
And
actually.
Like a tracksuit.
Yeah, like rugby vibes. Yeah.
Oh, dirtier. Like my dad worked in a cowboy.
Yeah. This is a lot of the reason that I love watching Love Island UK. The people who go on Love Island UK are many times
dirty boys.
Those types of Brits.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I'm a scaffolder, which is that's like a literal job title in the UK. And I think it means like maybe they work in construction, like they're literally up on the scaffolding of buildings and stuff, and they have like the dirty
like
British
Cockney
accent. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I was imagining it.
We
like Cockney.
So uninformed. So let's move on.
Yeah, okay. Dirty boys.
Okay, you have a dirty boy fantasy?
Me?
Yeah,
personally, I mean, Tom Hardy kind of has that accent, does he not?
We've spoken about that.
Yeah.
I don't remember his voice.
I don't remember if he has that accent.
Yeah, but he's a hot
There's this
person.
One video where a kid sends in a clip that's like, Tom, I love goldfish. Do you love goldfish? Or something like that. And Tom was just like, every sentient creature deserves love. And he said it in his accent.
I'm wet.
Yeah, I think I had a dream that he like pinned me against a wall that night. So
that's correct.
Okay, next one. Seeing him cry, in parentheses, which he never does in front of anyone except me, and then make love to him.
I think we're having two different reactions. I'm like, yeah.
I don't know if that makes me wet. That makes me feel lovey.
Definitely, but then loviness makes me feel horny.
Stinky.
Yeah, a little bit. I think I relate in a sense. I don't know if I want to like, yeah, get into it right after the tear. I feel like after I cry, if Ryan and I have a fight and then and I'm crying, which I usually do because I'm very quick and easy to cry, and then we resolve it and I'm not crying anymore and whatever, there's like such a clearing that happens.
Yeah, it's relief.
It's like this relief and this release and closeness because we've resolved something and all of that. And I will get horny like 9 times out of 10 in that situation.
Totally. I know. That's what I'm saying. I don't think it's that rare.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like a mini breakup sex, makeup yes. sex thing, because you had like the threat of fight, the threat of not being close, and then getting closeness again. You're emotionally drained. I think a lot of guys also end up feeling protective when you've cried, mm-hmm. even though I'm like, yeah, but you made me cry, dog. So a yeah. little different, but
not, it brings I'm not
their... I'm not talking about Justin. I'm not talking about Justin.
Yeah.
This is exes, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And then the other thing that was in this DM that I relate to is like, which he only does with me. Yeah. I have such a thing for like
yeah.
dating or hooking up with or whatever, just crushing on the guy that's like guarded and like doesn't show his emotions and everybody thinks is like intense and whatever, but then they're a softy with me.
Yeah, it's so toxic.
It's a classic bad
boy. I don't think it's toxic. Not necessarily.
Oh, I think a lot of it can be toxic.
It can be, but I would say that applies. I mean, I'm dramatizing it for the sex of it all, but like yeah. I would say it applies to my relationship. Ryan is not a very emotionally open guy. He's emotionally aware. He's emotionally intelligent, but he's not like pouring out his emotions to anybody he meets like I am.
Yeah.
He's more guarded. And we have developed safety and trust and a bond yeah. and all those things that make it so that he opens up with me. And there is something that makes me feel special in that.
No, that makes sense. Yes. I guess I was thinking more, Abby said, bad boy thing. And the yeah. bad boy thing, it's like, okay, it's not just that you don't give certain things to other relationships. It's that you have to project a different version of yourself elsewhere. That's this bad boy. That, yes, I feel like, yes, is a yes. toxic thing.
But I do think that's where mine is rooted. Like when I was younger, it was an attraction to bad boys. And now it's like I'm taking the part of that that can be healthy, less toxic and healthier, and applying it to like a better, not bad boy dynamic. You know what I mean?
We talked about this last night, but I was just thinking again about like I listened to this podcast where the sex therapist was talking about how like for girls, we're tuned into our emotions, but not necessarily yeah. our bodies. And then it's the opposite for boys. They're tuned into their bodies, but not necessarily their emotions. And so I think that it is kind of like a fantasy to just like get them into their emotions, to just see what it's like mm-hmm. and see what that could be like in this like bedroom scenario,
yeah.
you know? And like crying is just like one of the outward ways that they show emotions.
Yeah. That's what I mean. I remember the first time ever seeing like a boyfriend cry, and it was like so meaningful. Whether or not it should be, it felt meaningful to me. So that's what I mean when I'm like, it would make me feel super lovey, but I don't think that's my, it's not my wet dream usually.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's related, but not direct.
I wouldn't call it my erotic fantasy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Even though I might get erotic afterwards.
Right. It's not a fantasy.
Not a fantasy. The fantasies are all people I never want to meet. I don't want to meet that person.
That's actually true. Fantasy to me is like, this will never happen in real life and I don't want it to.
I would have to call the police.
I love when it lives in my head.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love how it is in my head.
Yeah. Mm, interesting. Mm-hmm. So this one is checked off as not a fantasy.
Very relatable feelings. Not a fantasy for us.
I don't want to invalidate it, but no, I do actually feel like I'm the authority.
Yeah, yeah. We figured it out.
I think the way that you're putting, like the order you're going in is... Okay. Good. Yes.
Abby, you're really good at this. Eee! This is one of my, not only our editor, but one of my best friends in the world.
Sweet.
Wow.
I also love her.
Mutual. I used to forget.
I also love her.
and between Jess and I too. I used yeah. to like forget to like tell Caroline I felt the same way. Like we would be hanging out yeah. and she'd be like, I just love you so much and stuff. And I'd
silence.
Be like, oh, I'd just be like, oh, and we'd like hug and stuff. And then I was like, wait, I didn't say it back.
Eventually, like, yeah, at some point, literally she wouldn't say it back. But I had like
wouldn't just forgot.
Okay.
I was caught up in the moment.
Caught up in the eroticism. It got to the point where I was like, it actually never bothered me because I felt so, it was a little shocking I was like, oh, shouldn't say that back. But I felt so grounded in like, I love you and I don't care what you feel about me, that I was just like, doesn't matter. Yeah. Doesn't matter, bitch. Yeah. And then I was like, I guess she doesn't feel it. I don't give a fuck. And then at some point I brought it up and you're like, oh, I do love you. And I was like, I don't care. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
That's actually like an important growth moment for you, I think, of like, you know what? I'm so confident in how I feel about this person that it doesn't matter. Yeah. Abby, look at that. You helped her grow.
I did. It was all me. It was me withholding.
Yeah, helping her because you knew she needed to grow. I told you.
I'm like,
you're just like that old man who like doesn't care about me, but he's helping me grow and learn about my body.
Oh my gosh, I have lots to teach you. I told you. Sometimes Caroline looks at me and I'm like, she wants something from me and not sure what it is. We're going to figure it out.
She has that look about her.
Last night you said you were talking to me like I was your cat. You were just like, what you doing, kitty?
Yeah, Jess left to go to the bathroom and we just looked at each other and Caroline was like, it's just us. And I was like, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? And then one time she looked at me like a little like chipmunk on the ground. She just was like looking up at me, staring at me. And I was like, I just like made a face. I was just like, hi. Like, hi, cutie. Hi.
There's something going on here.
That's our fantasy.
Next fantasy.
Okay. I go collect something off Marketplace and end up in a full-blown porn sex with the seller.
Caroline Winkler.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm the seller.
Speak on it. You're something. You're like the Marketplace princess.
I have heard this as fantasies or actual things that people do, not specific to Facebook Marketplace, but it would not be one for me.
Okay.
But I've heard, a cousin or someone told me that he would do this thing with other guys. They're a gay men would, he has like a system where I don't know what I'm saying.
You can say
where like there's a like a grinder hookup scenario where you just meet the person for the first time at their door, you open the door and they're there bent over and their butthole greets you at the door and you just,
I believe it.
Have you guys, I mean, we remember Bridesmaids, right?
Yeah.
Remember how her mom is like upset about the divorce and she's like, she probably greets him every day, Beaver first.
Oh yeah.
So if anything's true, I think it's Bridesmaids.
Yeah. Yeah, my mind just went blank as you described that. I was just like, a butthole when you open the door? Like, I can't think of anything else now.
Mostly what I'm thinking of is like for the person who's waiting in their home with their butthole out, is like, how long are you left waiting there? Like, you don't know how long the Uber takes. Did they share their location before so you're not like overly exposed for too long? Or like when when the door finally opens, would you be startled? Okay. Like, I've been here for 15 minutes.
I'm about to reveal maybe my sexual fantasy that I tried to put into practice in real life, and what you just described was challenge.
Does it include sushi?
It includes stuckness. I do have that fantasy too. Okay, the sushi thing is from Sex and the City, right?
Which it doesn't do anything for me. I'm sitting around with wet fish in the warm air.
Yeah, you aren't familiar, there's a scene where Samantha, played by Kim Cattrall, is laying on their dining room table with sushi all over her naked body waiting for her partner to come home.
And eat it off of her.
And then he's like late from work and he's running later and later and she just has to be still there with the sushi. Anyway, and then it's the beginning of the end for that couple. But anyway, great scene. I do have that fantasy. I've asked Ryan about it. He's like, I think he would, if it was not sushi, he'd be more open to it.
Eating and sex are mutually exclusive to me.
Yeah,
not even the whipped cream thing. I'm like, if I'm being sexy, my digestive system has shut down.
But the sushi thing, something about it, because sushi are like individual pieces that like stay together. It's not like
of wet raw,
it's not
fish,
like spaghetti
of with fish flesh.
Yeah, that's what Ryan says. So it's never happening, whatever. I just love the scene and I love Samantha. Okay, here's my actual sexual fantasy that I tried to make happen. Speaking of like having to wait for someone with your butthole out at the door.
Yeah.
So I've talked about stuckness a lot on this podcast and how there's something very like titillating to me about like being stuck in some crevice or whatever, and having to get like fucked out of it.
Fucked out of it. That's what I can't get past the logic, the broken logic.
There's no logic. It's a fantasy.
That's true.
And reminder that I don't watch porn, so this is something I like heard through the grapevine and was like, I like that, without having ever seen it acted out or anything.
Just heard this at Home Depot browsing yeah. different utilities.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, that dryer will be great for my stuck fantasy with my wife. Exactly. So one time it was like Christmas time and I decided that it would be really funny if I like put on like a sexy Santa outfit and like stuck my head in a box and was laying on the floor like a present, like a wrapped gift box, and like that my body was sticking out of it so that when my boyfriend came home, I would just like be in this box all like sexy and ready, and I'm not actually stuck, but I'm like feigning stuckness, and then we would do it.
Wait, is it like he opens the box?
No, I didn't want to just be waiting in a closed box, so it was more like it looked like a murder scene of like an open box and my like body just like my head's in it, but you see my legs like sticking out.
Wait,
of it.
This was a fantasy or you did this?
I did this.
Did he come home? Did he have any warning? Or did he like think maybe?
And I think that was a problem because it was like 2 p.m.
Oh my God, Jess. He was like, oh my God, she cut herself with a box cutter. She's dead.
I don't think he was like worried about me, but I think he was like not prepared for it.
Not prepared to be
plus,
sexy.
And I'm like in the box with my phone to like see when he says that he's on his way and stuff. And so there's part of it is just like you're clumsily like checking, are they here yet? Whatever. And then he gets there and he was so surprised. He had to like turn around and like come back. He was like, what? And like had to walk away and then come back to figure out like, okay, I think she's trying to like do sex things. And then
were you acting unresponsive like a dead body?
Yeah.
So you guys, when he came in,
yeah. I might have been like, hey, mister, like you have to like.
Oh my God.
This is what.
How big is the box?
The box was like.
Do you have like a foot in it?
Your head was in it?
Probably like up to my boobs.
And the rest was naked?
And the rest was, no, I was wearing a sexy Santa outfit.
Okay.
And heels and stuff.
Okay.
And then, I don't know, then we like,
hey, mister.
We didn't have sex right away.
Wait, like, sexy Santa, you were Santa?
I was Mrs. Claus, I guess. Oh, okay, I don't know, okay. Whatever. Like the Mean Girls outfit.
Yeah, his secretary or something.
Yeah.
Oh, whoa, whoa.
We eventually had sex, but like, it was more like confusion and then laughter and then a conversation where I was like, I thought it would be funny. And like, then you were taking a long time to get home and whatever. And then like, eventually once the like dust settled, probably like 20 or 30 minutes later, we just like went to my bedroom and had normal style sex. And I was like, oh, I guess this is how it happened.
I can't bring the box. I would be more comfortable if my head was in the box.
So I guess what I'm saying, this is another reason that like fantasies should maybe stay fantasies, because in practice it like
they're
makes
so
no sense.
Silly. They're it makes so no, silly.
Then nobody was horny. We were funny.
Like, I can't believe you did that. That's awesome. I love really that you did it. Good for you.
Thank you. That was yeah.
I should try like for year, more year acting out ago. More fantasies. Good for you. That's awesome.
I just thought I had never been. I've never been in a relationship as like safe feeling, I guess, as the one I'm in now. So I was like, if I have like been curious to do something like this, like this is my time.
That's such a good sign of something to be able to say about. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
even
awesome.
Though he didn't, I wish he had like come in and like really went with it.
Yeah. Really gotten in the
turn
box.
On the Mr. Claus.
Yeah.
So I guess we both have a Santa thing, maybe.
Wow.
A little bit. I think it's the old age for me.
I think you need to reintroduce it this Christmas and just see what happens.
Try again.
Yeah.
Nice box.
You think, okay, so what box would you recommend?
One that just fits your head.
That's what I thought you were saying at the beginning.
No.
I was like,
and you're splayed out on the floor. And I also need you to be completely naked. I think the Santa, I think it was too many different inputs.
Well, I have to say something. Okay. I don't think we actually commented on Marketplace full-blown porn sex with the seller. I think we went straight to buttholes in the doorway.
Right. So, is that not commentary?
I can respect it. I can allow it. I can't get on board with it because everything about Facebook Marketplace is already so dirty that I'm like, we're not having sex.
Right.
And that's my main objection.
Does this happen, though?
What the fuck do I know? Why are you asking me?
Like, because you hear about things. I don't know. On the marketplace.
I'm. Well, you know, people used to hook up from Craigslist all the time and stuff.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I have heard someone I know personally hooking up from like a Craigslist pickup. Like there was an actual pickup and then they had a hookup. I can't remember who this was.
On the same day or they like exchanged numbers?
I think someone exchanged numbers and they messaged after the
fact. I could see that.
Or so I guess it's not that crazy to think with Facebook Marketplace.
I one time
Facebook
sold
being involved feels weird.
Get the Zuck out of this.
Zucking and sucking.
I once sold a couch on Craigslist and the girl that came to pick it up, there was this whole like hullabaloo where the truck, she had like hired people to come with a truck and they were late. And so she and I ended up going and getting coffee because she was like a girl about my age. And we had like a fun chat. And then finally she took the couch and she was like, we should like hang out again. Is that weird? And I was like, it's not weird. Like we really vibed. That's and crazy. We were like,
did you
both
become
new
friends?
To Chicago. We had both come from the DC area. There were like a lot of commonalities.
Wow.
And I had every intention of becoming friends with her, but then COVID happened like a month later. And so there was no opportunity to hang out with anyone, let alone a stranger. Yeah.
Have you ever thought about reaching out and just being like, hey, I've never stopped thinking about you.
Yes. I think about her a lot. I have thought about reaching out. She did send me during COVID.
She's thinking about you.
Like a month into COVID, she sent me a picture of like the couch in her space. And she was like, glad I got this couch right before everything shut down. Yeah. And it looked cute and whatever. There was potential there, but
that's cute.
It's been years.
That's a real fantasy, friendship.
Yep, friendship is a fantasy.
Rare.
Can you believe it?
Okay, do you guys want to do like a kind of serious one?
Yeah.
Okay. So this person just said, I guess it's not weird, but I just opened up to my boyfriend about my humiliation kink. Yay.
Okay. It's not uncommon. Yeah. I mean, none of it is weird. Let me be clear. Like the wording that we used was weirdest just because we wanted people to send us things that were really out there. But it's not weird. It's like that's the point of fantasies is to go like next level, think of something and, you know, try something and whatever that you wouldn't usually do. So I want to be careful about the phrasing of weird.
Yeah.
So yeah, to this person, it's not weird. And humiliation kinks are pretty common. But it is a big deal to open up to your partner about it, right?
I agree.
Yeah, I would say it's never weird. Like, I was joking when I said, like, I'll tell you if these are right and wrong. But genuinely, I think what's so cool and genuinely beautiful about sex is that you can't lie about what turns you on. Like, I think that's what's particularly beautiful about, like, orgasming or something is, like, you can't lie about what turns you on. And not even to yourself. So, I mean, to a certain degree, you can't. So I think it's like this kind of amazing honesty. And to not, if you hear about something that your partner likes, like there's plenty of things that you can be like, well, I'm not into that or whatever. But you can't really say that's not valid or that's stupid or that's weird. It's like, it just means that you don't understand enough about where that comes from. And they might not even understand enough about where that comes from, but you don't feel things for no reason. It comes from somewhere. And, I don't know. Yeah. The humiliation one is interesting. I don't personally relate to that as much. I relate to like a patheticness. I want to be made to feel pathetic, which there is overlap, but to me, it's not the same thing. Like, I don't have a fantasy of like, people are like throwing food at me while I'm naked in the middle
of
a
hole. Well,
I don't want food there at all. Or like making fun of me in that way. I do want to be made. There's a fantasy aspect of like condescension and patheticness, but not humiliation. But it's, very common.
Yeah.
Hmm. I just think that's interesting. Well, because it kind of reminds me of like the very first one with the respectable man. Like it's like, why do we always want to feel like, I don't know.
Smaller.
Smaller, like underneath somebody. Like
to me, what does it for me a bit is actually feeling taken care of, which would not work for me and would not feel like equality in an actual relationship.
Yeah.
But I don't know why it works. It doesn't matter. It doesn't fucking matter why it works. It just does.
Right. I feel like I take care of myself in so many ways, in so many aspects of like, that's what being an adult is. And I'm like proud of myself and glad that I've learned to take care of myself in a lot of ways. But I just want to break from it sometimes. And so sex can be one place where you get a break from who you usually are and what the dynamics usually are. Yeah. And I think that's the reason a lot of like women especially can lean into, like, wanting to feel smaller, wanting to feel like they don't know anything. They have something to learn. They're, like, not, you know, good enough or should be ashamed. Like, you're a bad girl. Like, that's where that comes from, I think. It's just, like, I don't know. And there's something about how, like, certain things that feel forbidden, I guess, too.
Totally forbidden. Yeah. I want to reiterate, we talked about this in our last episode, but, like, I think a lot of people stress over, like, oh my God, what does that mean about where it's like you, it's everyone has a weird thing. Everyone likes a forbidden thing in some arena or another. Like, you really don't have to overthink it. It's the most standard thing. It's like a fucking given.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Esther Perel talks about it a lot if you want to read more from an actual expert on this topic. But I think there's also like, if you're somebody who's always trying to establish your legitimacy and equality and be treated equal all day long, there's actually an intimacy in, like, bearing the flesh of your neck and you're, like, vulnerable. It's literally very vulnerable to be like, I'm going to let someone even fake treat you as less than. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's kind of a show of trust in a way, because, like, I wouldn't do that. You probably wouldn't do that with a stranger.
Yeah.
You probably wouldn't do that with someone. I think a lot of, like, sexy things too are only sexy and allowable if you really trust that person. Otherwise, there's, like, you know, a single thing, a single action or a statement or an energy that I would be, you might be furious if it was, like, some random hookup who you didn't have trust with. You know what I mean? It's like a show of trust.
Well, I think that's what I was thinking of, is as somebody who had, like, lost my virginity, quote unquote, later in life, like, feels like a late bloomer in this department. Something that is such a myth is that, like, having lots of sexual partners and, like, you know, going home with people from the bar all the time and one night stands is, like, the way to be sexy and be, like, hot and be, like, in your sexuality. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like, there's no shame in that. And I've done my fair share of, you know, one night stands here and there. But at the end of the day, sex is so much more sexy when it is somebody who you feel safe with. And I think that's something that I've, you know, learned over the years, but younger girls, I think, need to know, or at least be open to the idea that, like, it doesn't mean there's anything wrong if you do have those, like, little flings and have sex with people that you don't have a deep connection with. But just know that, like, what you're experiencing in that sex, you probably think it's like the epitome of sex because you're a little more green, maybe. But you will find as you get older and you have sex with people that you actually trust that, like, that sucked to me.
That's the same as saying, I literally think it's the opposite. Like, the best sex usually comes, and the best experience and all that comes with long-term relationships.
Yeah.
Because, that, to me, that's like saying the best dates happens on speed dating. It's like, you only got a minute in, or, like, you only got, like, a month into knowing this person and figuring out the dynamic and getting comfortable. It's like, no. Abby made a comment yesterday where she was like, you were putting down your legitimacy of what you know about relationships and relationship advice. And Abby was saying, because Abby's been married for 9 years, and you were saying, oh, Jess has probably been in way more relationships with me. And I was like, that doesn't mean anything, though. You've been in a 9-year marriage. That means you've hit relationship issues and relationship conversations that I've never hit. It's like you've gotten so much farther in. That's kind of, to me, that's like saying, well, I've been on 200 speed dates, so I know more about talking to men. It's like, right. No.
That is such a good comparison.
So I agree with the, I disagree with the sex thing, too.
Yeah. That's so funny that you had that impression at all.
Bitch, you've been married for a decade.
Yeah.
You think you don't know things about relationships?
I don't know anything. I've been in 2 relationships. This is my second.
Well, you also don't not know anything.
Of course.
I just mean.
Of course. Everybody, whatever. You know what you know from the experiences you've had, and they all have something that somebody else doesn't.
But it is true. I think I think somebody who's good, it's usually they've been in a really long relationship.
I will say one of them that wrote in said joyful and loving mental/emotional interaction and said this is 100% real. Aww. It's like, that's a fantasy, and that can be a reality with, yeah. With,
and it like, makes trust. Me kind of sad if that person's feeling like, yeah, that is only a fantasy, and yeah. it's not something that feels attainable. I hope that's not where they're coming
from.
Oh,
that is interesting. I want to know.
Yeah.
I think it would be, yeah, more bewildering to me if someone was, if somebody had that in their relationship and that's also what they spent their time fantasizing about, that would be bewildering me to continue to fantasize about the thing you already have. Cause often I think it's pretty standard that for most people it's something forbidden or it's something different or it's just changing something up. Even if it's not forbidden or weird, it's just like, oh, different.
Yeah.
I think
there's a range. I mean, like I fantasize about things that I've never experienced. I fantasize about things that I probably will never experience. I also fantasize about things I've experienced before in the past, like,
yeah.
Calling upon memories that get me going. And I mean, yeah. And I'll fantasize about like, oh, like the way that my boyfriend like was being really sweet to me the other night, like, yeah. even though it happened and it continually happens, like I will sometimes think about that in a very like fantastical, like craving it. Way, you know?
Yeah.
So I think there's room for fantasizing about things that are in your experience and things that you would never want in real life. Like,
yeah.
I think it can be a spectrum, you know? I guess it just depends on the definition of a fantasy. Like, because yeah. you can think about, is there a difference between like thinking about sex and fantasizing about sex, you know? Mm-hmm.
I think so. Maybe. I listened to this podcast actually right before I came over, but I still will botch the quote. I think it was also by Esther Perel, but it was something about how like sex is not just a thing you do, but it's like a place you go. And I think like in that place, like it can be whatever it needs to be to make it a worthwhile experience, you know?
Right.
So I don't know. It's just, yeah, it could be sweet. It could be spicy. It could be way kinky.
That's sweet.
That place. Okay, let's go to a different place.
There's one that says, a more recent occurring fantasy. It's futuristic and this new form of sexual interaction has cropped up. Women go into these clear pods. There is limited access to her body. Lady parts are only accessible through strategically placed arms holes.
Yep.
The man or woman outside the pod with consent can only provide hand-based pleasure. They cannot receive it, only watch the person that is. And that's the whole point. It's entirely about the woman in the pod's pleasure, and the person on the outside gets all their satisfaction from providing it. P.S. I'm always in the pod.
I like that.
I love it. I'm going to take this one for my own bank.
It's good.
It's really good. I love everything about it. I love, obviously, it's very, like, you know, centered around the woman and her pleasure. But I also think, like, the person, you know, feeling her up or doing whatever to her, like, not only is it pleasure from giving her pleasure, but also like watching and having like a visual and like I can't do anything other than this, like that's really good for that person too. Like I think that both people in the interaction are getting a lot of pleasure. It's not just like the person in the pod is getting the pleasure and the person outside is just watching them. It's like there's so much to watching them and to only being able to do so much. So I feel like that's a very hot fantasy. I love it.
I just like holes, I think. I just like the holes. I like the limited access and the holes.
The clear, yeah, limit. Wait, I didn't understand that part about why does it matter that she has limited, like.
I think it's like all you can access is a hole.
Oh, okay. I.
It's like a glory hole, but like a pod covered in glory holes.
Yes. No, I can picture the. I can picture it. I just thought she was saying that like the woman doesn't have like water or food, and I was like, I don't think she needs. I mean,
no, I like
she
that.
Live there,
I like that.
Is it just for the sex? Right. I really like it. Yeah. No notes. Honestly, I'm definitely gonna think about it.
Yeah. There's something about like the watching of it all. I think like so that's sometimes. Voyeurism. Yeah. Sometimes for me, like I like the idea, not even like that somebody else is watching me, but sometimes I have to like picture like myself watching me.
Totally. Yes.
Yeah,
I do that
yeah,
too.
Yeah. 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 And then I'm like, that's like when I get really into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's something really, I don't know. I don't even know what to call it. It's just interesting.
Well, I love penetration. I just like, and so I'm like, well, I want to be able to watch it. and not just feel like I just like watching penetration.
Leave me alone.
There's nothing wrong with that. I love penetration.
You,
I
know that's uncommon for women. Abby just encouraged me like so. I don't know. It's such a motherly way.
Yeah.
Go, girl.
Stop it. You're looking. You're talking to me like your cat again. Yeah.
It's my kid. I think there's a lot to like watching yourself, pretending that you're watching yourself having sex. Like, I definitely do that. I also think that even when I make sounds during sex, it's like so that I can hear myself making the sound.
Mm.
It's not like a naturally occurring sound. Usually, sometimes it is.
Moo.
But a lot of the times, moo, bitch. Moo, bitch. It's not usually like a naturally occurring, I couldn't help but make this sound.
Yeah.
It's like me encouraging myself to let out the sound, or even at the beginning when like sounds aren't happening, we're not like fully in it yet, to like make them, even though like kind of fake it till you make it, like not faking an orgasm, but just faking like the sounds as you go along.
Yeah.
Because as I start to hear them, I get more into it.
Yeah.
And it's like this weird, like,
it's another sense.
Cyclical
yeah.
effect.
Sense, like, feel and
yeah.
smell. So it's being turned on by smells.
It's like not, sure. it's like.
What are the other senses? Eyes. What is the fucking fifth sense?
Taste.
Baby
girl, and wow, you don't want food in bed.
Ew.
Does but anyone, I'm over here with my sushi.
Some people do get turned on by a taste. I don't like that.
I don't think I like, oh, actually, oh, never mind. I have this product that Girls Gotta Eat, the podcast. They have a line of sex toys and like other sex paraphernalia. And I bought this product from them called Blow Gel. And it's like a flavored, totally safe to like eat. Not that you're going to
scoop it
up in a bowl.
It'd be fun if it was unsafe to eat.
A flavored gel that you can use when giving a blowjob.
I don't like that.
It's really good.
It is.
It's really
good. What does
enjoyable.
It taste like?
They have different flavors. I think I have the mango one.
Weird.
It just tastes kind of like fruity. It's I like it. I feel like what am I trying to say? I can be a little bit shy about going down there and also letting someone go down on me. Mm-hmm. I've definitely gotten better in that way, but it's like a insecurity and a shyness and a like, do I smell okay? Do I taste okay? And then the same thing about going down on a guy. Like, I'm a little bit like, this is kind of gross. Like, I find oral sex like more intimate than penetrative sex.
Totally.
And so, fine, I do it. But like this gel has definitely helped me enjoy it more because I'm less concerned about any weird taste or smell. Not that anybody that I'm having sex with is smelly, but just like it's a area that doesn't see the light of day, and it's a body. And so, yeah, it like helps me enjoy the experience more. I can stay down there longer and I can like be more enthusiastic about it, which I think that adds to the experience of someone receiving it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Nice. Okay.
I recommend.
Good find.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I think that's amazing. And I'm so proud.
Thanks, Mom.
Sweetie, I'm so proud of you, too, for just, like, opening up for yourself.
Thank you.
I feel like I've been on a very similar journey, and it's great.
I know.
Getting to the end of it.
It's so funny. I talk about it occasionally on the podcast. Like, I have weeks, like, last week when I was, like, I don't know, like, how to be, like, kinky or something. Yeah. And then I have weeks where I'm like, actually, like, I do have a lot of things that I do that
yeah
I've grown a lot in these ways, and I've like pushed myself out of my comfort zone and discovered the things
yeah.
I like
yeah.
and like I don't give myself enough credit.
I think what I don't understand is, why is kinky your goal? I don't understand yeah. why. I don't understand yeah. what the pressure is. It's like, I would understand if you were like, we don't feel connected in sex, or this doesn't feel good, or
yeah.
he doesn't like it. But beyond that, I'm like, are you liking sex?
Yes.
Are you feeling connected?
Right.
This other layer you're adding on of, it's supposed to be some
yes.
way. That's like the biggest, easiest way to damage you in any arena of life.
Totally.
Where's that pressure or expectation coming from?
It's coming from the fact that I'm a late bloomer. Like,
okay.
I didn't have sex till I was 21.
Yeah.
I didn't have sex with someone I actually loved and felt a connection with until I was 24. And even then, I was like new to it and it was weird. And I'd only had a couple sexual partners that were like passing flings before that. And I grew up feeling like everybody else was doing it and doing it a lot and doing it well. And that's like
a total falsehood.
It's a total falsehood. But that is what I grew up thinking.
I get you. I'm with you.
And through my 20s, I still thought it. And now, even though I cognitively know that that's not what it was and what it is, I still have these little bits of me left over.
Yes.
That are like, that sometimes they crop up and they're like, wait, but am I doing enough? And am I doing it right? And am I doing it? Am I hot enough and sexy enough and kinky enough and whatever the word is? And yeah, it's like when I'm clear minded, I don't worry about it because I, like you said, I like know the sex I'm having is I'm enjoying it and it feels safe and I'm trying new things and whatever. And I'm doing what I want ultimately. But there's such a pressure around it. And I think
the idea of pushing yourself. You always
You're always talking about like, I think I need to push myself more. I need to grow. And that I think that's what I'm just like,
why?
For fucking who?
Well, I get it. Cause I'm the same as you. Yeah. Late bloomer, grew up like very conservative religious community and like couldn't, you know, wasn't allowed to have sex until I was married and all that. And and I feel similarly where it's just like, I'm so behind. Like, what is that? What's everybody up to these days? Yeah. And like, and that I feel like I also was like coming of age during like, what's that book called? 50 Shades of Grey or whatever, when like that was becoming like more like mainstream and everything. And I was just like, what is everybody doing? Like, it kind of just felt like everybody was like doing that sort of like BDSM, like whatever stuff. And like, like that's great and whatever. But it felt so foreign to me. And again, like some sort of box I was supposed to like check off of like sexual exploration.
Yes.
That like having like a personal relationship to sex didn't feel like something I was like allowed to pursue. It felt like there was
sex and then you.
Yeah.
Sex and then people. And like people experience, they like walk towards and deeper and deeper into this thing that exists called sex.
Yeah.
That's how it's felt for me. As opposed to like there's me and my sexual
experiences. And what
it feels
like
that's over here and I have to explore it deeper and deeper all the time because that's what we're supposed to do. And then there's also a fear that I have of like you hear about couples who have been together for a long time and like how things get stale and people cheating because they didn't have enough going on at home and all these fucking narratives that are in the media.
And it's like, how do you mix it up if you don't know what you're doing?
You don't know. Well, yeah. Like I'm doing what I can over here.
Yeah. And so I totally get that. You like get in your head. Cause you're like, well, what else is out there? What else could I be doing? Yes. What else should I be doing? And it's like, even if you're having like a great experience with just whatever sex you like, there's still, it's like in the back of your head, like, but,
but there's probably
should
more.
We have like tried this other thing. And it's like, but why? Why do you need to?
Yeah.
If this session was so great.
Yeah.
Why am I not just like in the moment, just like enjoying that? Yeah.
Well, I think you basically just like pointed out that there is, when you hear shit like that about like, well, people will cheat if it's not, you automatically start comparing and you're like, okay, so if it's not at a certain benchmark, then they'll cheat, which I have opinions on that whole thing. I think that's a fucking,
it's backwards.
Well, I think it's also a really lazy way to summarize why people cheat.
Yeah.
I don't think that really covers a lot of it.
Yeah.
I don't even agree with the statement or the explanation of cheating. But even if that's what you're thinking and what's in your head, then you're trying to compare, okay, well, how does my sex measure up? And then you're trying to compare something that you have no insight into.
Yeah. Correct.
It's in a black box. So the whole nature of sex, which is like, you don't get to watch other people do it that much, it feels really hard to know where you stand in relation to things. Mm. If you get caught up in me in relation to other people. I also think there's something about the only times that, which I think sex should just be about you and your relationship to it, sure, ideal, but it's easy to get caught up in comparison, especially when there's like a shared cultural phenomenon like 50 Shades of Grey, where it's like, okay, the joke, I remember SNL making a joke about how like every vanilla
Karen
stay-at-home mom was jerking off to 50 Shades of Grey. It was like everybody was doing the most vanilla was loving it. And I think that was true. People, it was a bestseller. People were into it so much. And that meant that, like, it's a common fantasy. Yes. It's a common fantasy, yeah. But that doesn't mean everybody was getting bondage stuff at home. Yeah. I think there's this huge distinction people overlooked is, like, this is a fantasy that turned them on, like, whatever, clear pod or whatever. But if everyone was obsessed with the clear pod glory hole thing and, you know, everyone was buying into that, that doesn't mean that they're all doing it at home. There is such a distinction between... what ideas turn people on and what they're actually doing in their bedroom. Mm-hmm. And I think that gets lost when, like, the only communal sex experience we have is, like, well, everyone bought this book, so everyone must be doing it.
Yeah. Also, totally.
I think it's completely misleading.
Totally.
Yeah, definitely misleading. And also, I don't love how, like, the term vanilla feels so, like,
bad.
Condescending right. And, like, you're not doing enough and stuff. It's like, I think for the most part, everyone's pretty vanilla.
Yeah.
In, like, a lot of ways, right? Like,
yes.
Or, like, missionary.
Yeah.
Is so.
It's like boring.
For a reason. Yeah. There's only a few positions that fucking do anything.
And now there's a new movement I've noticed from watching a lot of reality shows where they'll play games where they have to say, like, they have to guess, like, what somebody's favorite sex position is or whatever. Now there's a new trend where missionary is actually back. And it's like a good way for guys to show that they actually care because they want to look at your face or whatever.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So there's like all of these things of like, when I was growing up, all I really heard about sex was like, there's all these positions and then there's missionary and you don't want to be doing that because you're vanilla if that's all you do. And then now there's like a flip. Obviously, I don't care anymore the way I did when I was like learning all this stuff and growing up. But it's so funny how no matter what, there's a... there's like a societal expectation and standard and definition. And like, if you do this, then that means this about you and your sex.
Yeah.
And that's why it feels like it's this thing separate from me and other people are in it more than I am.
You haven't like cracked the code. Figured out how to do it right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I can see why I can understand why it happened.
Yeah.
And the way that we relate to sex, talk about sex and your personal experience. I understand why you feel that way, but I also just want to be like, none of that. Nobody else's fucking opinions about sex matters or experience. Yeah. Also, I don't even trust half of what people say.
I know.
Yeah.
It's so true.
Like, I feel like a lot of people lie about it. They want to seem something. I don't know.
People are never going out of their way to let you know how bad their sex life is.
Right.
You don't hear about those ones.
That's so true.
I have a question.
I'm ready.
Yes.
Have you ever asked someone out in real life? Like, genuinely, have you ever done that?
Let me think back to 9 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll have a good answer.
As in not on...
In person.
In person?
Yes.
I think maybe the ways... I had done it was like I would still write something, but I would like I might write it in a letter or like a book. Okay. I don't think I said it verbally.
Yeah, neither have I. But somebody wrote us and asked us that question.
Wow.
And I was like, yeah, just go ahead and invalidate all of the advice that we ever gave. It was a very good question.
To me, it always just makes me think about like I do have a lot of sympathy for what the average guy has to feel in facing rejection over and over and over. And everybody actually, like all genders, all orientations have to face rejection in dating because that's part of it. And women face it at a different point in dating. But the asking out part, on average, the average woman does not feel expected to do it as much.
Yeah.
I fucking haven't. You're right.
I've done it over like Hinge, you know, on a dating app or probably not. In any other context, I don't think I've like texted someone out of the blue to go out or anything. And I've definitely not done it in person. I think the only time is if I'm talking to someone on Hinge and they didn't ask me out fast enough or something.
Yeah.
Occasionally I would be like, do you want to just get drinks or something?
I did that a lot.
But yeah.
I did that a lot.
Right. And I think that's a good thing. I feel like more women should do it. I have a lot of friends who have kind of like a... thing in their head that like they really would prefer, at least the way they describe it is like they would prefer not to have to. And it's like, yeah, sure, I guess you want to be asked out, I get it, that feels good, but like it is leaning into these gender roles that are probably holding you back from meeting really cool people who just like weren't at their phone at the time or didn't you know, felt shy too, or whatever. So
I also feel like these cucks can't be trusted with my schedule. Like, yeah. I'm not, you're the one who's deciding the schedule now. And that, you know, I guess I should feel that way. I should have felt that way also in person of like, I'm leaving it up to you to decide when I get asked out.
Yeah.
But specifically over dating apps, I felt that more so. Also because I've heard from guys that they're like, well, I know some girls get offended if you talk too long. Chat too long before asking them out.
Right.
And some girls get offended if you ask them out too early. So I think that, yeah. And definitely both happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And totally. I do not want to be chatting long on an app. So I would be like, confirm you're a normal person. Confirm you can construct a sentence. Confirm you can ask a single question about me. You're minimally attractive. Great. Let's meet in person to find out if we're interested in talking more.
I think that's the thing is like, a lot of people say, I don't want to be talking on the app forever.
But then they fucking do be.
Well, they do be, and they don't be asking the person out because you're talking on the app forever because you refuse to be the one to ask them out. So now you're in this days long conversation. Yes, maybe it's true that like you don't want to end up with somebody who's going to allow this conversation to drag out anyway. Fine. There's definitely some people who are only on the apps to like have a pen pal and get attention and never meet in person.
But you'll
and
get that information anyway. You do want to
weed those people out. Yeah. But like if you're still engaging in the conversation, then you're part of the problem. Either stop talking to them or ask them out.
I can't believe it never occurred to me that people weren't pulling that trigger. Because to me, it actually feels so different on a dating app than in person to pull that trigger.
Totally. I think it's easy to do. But I think a lot of people, specifically women, feel like they want a guy who will do the asking out.
But this is the thing, you don't even know why they're not asking you out. They might not be asking you to get a drink because they've gotten feedback from the previous girl that they pushed that too quickly and it made them uncomfortable. Like they might be not asking you out then. Literally, they might be a fucker. They might want a pen pal. They might want to waste your time, or they might think they're respecting fucking something and feeling it out. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of assumptions happening, a lot of projections of like things you've experienced in the past happening.
Everybody.
And that, yeah, that's like normal. It happens. But I totally agree with you. Like, I feel like it's also applying kind of a rule of thumb that exists in-person dating, has existed in in-person dating to dating apps. And I think that's where a lot of people don't find success on the dating apps because they're trying to be like, well, if it was in person and I met this person at work and we became friends and whatever,
they should ask
then
me
like
out.
I would really like for them to ask me out. Okay, I can understand that. This is a totally different scenario. You have shown up and you equally have the same like limited information about each other, limited time to talk on an app and intention of like, I'm here to date, whether that's seriously or not is up to the person. But like, it just, you can't apply the in-person rules to it. Like you asking, I feel like asking someone out on an app is like, should be thought of as mechanical. It's like, okay, yeah, we matched and we got enough of a feeling that like you're normal. One of us asked the question.
It's kind of like asking to have a conversation.
Yeah.
It's not asking to date. It's just like, oh, now we can actually go have a real conversation and see how that is.
Agreed.
I think the thing in person that a lot of times people are like, well, I want to be approached, blah, blah. I felt the same. I'm not saying it's the right way to feel, but a lot of people want to be approached. A lot of people want to know. Maybe they think they're vetting the guy in person. Like he should be able to go for something. He should be able to take it. Or whatever the fuck you want. Okay. But on the dating app, that's not the thing that's being vetted in that move. The thing that they might be vetting is like, I don't want to come across like I'm just hooking up or something. So they're the assertiveness in person and the assertiveness on the app, I think, can be vetting very different things. The other thing that I sometimes had a fleeting fear of on the apps was like, this didn't stop me from asking people out, but I sometimes was like, if I do this too early, I think guys think I'm desperate.
Yeah.
And really, I was like, I'm just desperate to not be texting you.
Yeah.
I'm desperate to not fucking wait to get the fuck off of here. I would like to eliminate you as soon as possible. Or I would like you to eliminate me as soon as possible. Both are really constructive. Let's fucking kill it as fast as possible.
Yep.
Not desperate. Loved being alone. And so I sometimes had that fear. But the thing that countered it for me is like the guy, if somebody thinks that, man or woman, we're talking about all genders. If anybody thinks that, you being assertive is desperate, they are not ready to date somebody. Mm-hmm. That is immature, toxic, if you think that about someone, them being assertive in a minimally assertive way, or saying what you want, like saying what you want is not embarrassing. Saying that you would like to meet somebody is not embarrassing. It's not weak. It's not pathetic. It is vulnerable. And if somebody reacts, meets your vulnerability with judgment, cool. It's not a match then.
Right.
Or they are just looking for a hookup, right, or blah, blah, blah. But someone who's genuinely there, man or woman, and they're like, I am looking for someone who is looking to build a real connection, for you to ask them to meet in person is a great thing. So let them eliminate themselves if they think that's weird.
Yeah. And like having them eliminate themselves via an app, like this is a person you've not met yet. I think people can sometimes get so attached to the idea of a person from their profile and their brief app conversation, and like let themselves think into the future and fantasize as to like, oh, this could really be the right thing for me. This could really be the person for me before you've even met them in person. And I feel like you really have to like temper your desire to do that, because then it puts a lot more pressure on the ask out. But if you just ask them out because like, okay, we matched and we talked for 5 minutes and like, I'd rather just get to it and find out, and that's the attitude you have about it, it's much easier to ask them, because it's also much easier to get rejected. It's much easier for somebody to just not respond and ghost you if you haven't fantasized about your whole life together.
Oh my God.
So, and I feel like that's the reason, like, why else are you nervous to ask someone out on an app? You don't know this person. It must be because you're deciding something about who they could be to you, what it means if you got rejected by them. Yeah. And like, you don't know the person. So it should just like treat it like a ripping the Band-Aid every time. That I totally am with you.
And to me, any rejection is important information you want to know.
Yeah.
Like, let's say on an app you ask somebody out and they say no. That's important information. Or they think it's weird. That's important information. Or they think you're desperate. That's important information. Like, none of these are a dateable person then, if that's what you're looking for. Or they don't respond. Whether that's because they're a fucker and they're like, oh, I'll string this one out, not being able to respond because they're fucking with you, don't go out with them, or not responding just because they were genuinely preoccupied in their life and not on the app. That yeah. also kind of means like, whatever the reason for someone not being present and invested and serious about it, that also means they're not present and invested and serious about it. And maybe it's a genuine misconnection where they had a bad week and they meant to respond, yeah. but they didn't. And then it's just like ships in the night. Then it's just out of everyone's control. Like, kind of to me, though, whatever the response is like information to be happy about.
Yeah.
To be really happy about. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Dating is collecting information. And yeah, especially at that early stage, the information is important, but has less.
It's not personal, though.
Wait, it's not personal. That's the word I'm looking for.
It doesn't mean you're undateable. Personal.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Can I tell you guys something?
Yes, please. Always.
I never did the apps.
Right.
Yeah.
Never had to. It was like right when they were becoming big that I met Jake.
Well, you're not missing much, babe.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. You're probably considered one of the lucky ones by a lot of listeners.
I don't know the dynamics. Can I tell you a cute story about Jake?
Yes, sure. Jake is your husband.
Jake's my husband. He's a sweetie. But he did the apps a little bit. We met in college. He did the apps for a little bit. And he, you know, started realizing that when he was on campus, he would, like, look at women and, like, swipe in his head. He would, like, swipe one way, swipe the other way. And so he was like, wait, I actually hate that. And he deleted the apps.
Oh, good for him that his reaction was, I hate that.
He didn't like what it was doing to his brain.
Yeah.
Jake is a sweetie boy. Sweetie, sweetie boy.
He's an angel boy. Yeah, and then we met shortly after.
It is a hot or not, or, like, a fuckable decision or whatever. You know, it's at the end of the day, like, there are other things that you come to learn
right.
as you, like, then read the profile and then talk to them and then go on the date and whatever. But like the initial, like somebody pops up and you're swiping because it's like gamified.
Yeah.
Like it is very hot or not.
Sort of. But it's also, I think that's what people take to heart about it a lot. They're like, well, yeah. if they didn't swipe on me, they think I'm not hot. But the, like research has shown that what we are so much harsher and less open on the apps than we are even when we're doing hot or not in person.
Yeah.
Hot or not happens at the bar and in person too, where it's I'm just looking for a hookup. But on the app, just looking at a face and you haven't seen it.
A still image.
A still image and you haven't seen the face talk. You haven't seen how it moves. You haven't seen how it holds himself, how they listen. Those are all parts of attraction, even at a superficial level, that people reject at a much higher rate on the apps than they would in real life.
Totally, I believe that.
So that's one thing people take to heart really hard, where they're like, oh my God, all these people don't think I'm hot enough. It is skewed on the app.
And I think the apps create an environment that almost feels like online shopping.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh yeah, I like that, I don't like that. And so you're operating in a framework of like, okay, my type is this and only this, and I'm looking for people that match that, and I'm online shopping. So if I keep going, I'll find enough options that do match that. And so you're way more restrictive. Not only are you not getting a lot, you know, you're not getting the same like test of attraction that you would in real life because it's just a still image, but you're also like, I think, being way more restrictive about what you're looking for because it's a profile that has like somebody who's this tall with brown hair with this job. Oh, that matches what I'm looking for. Whereas if you talk to somebody in person, they might really surprise you and not match any one of those things.
So I will say I noticed that about myself even, where when I was swiping on apps and the kind of brain reframe that I would do that I think is fucking great. When looking at someone's profile, I would picture a personality. I would be like, okay, let's say this was my most favorite personality ever. I was so in love with this human soul. Then would I find them attractive? It's like, maybe you have to picture a certain personality, but I think I've developed crushes in person on personalities before where I'm like, but I still just don't really find you attractive. And that's, to me, I mean, it's important to be attracted. Yeah. Whatever that formula is, it is important to be attracted to your partner. It would not be nice to marry someone and then be like, well, I love your soul, but I just don't ever want to have sex with you ever. Like, that robs everybody of something. So it's important to be attracted, whatever that formula looks like. It might not be look-based at all. For a lot of people, the looks don't factor into it at all. It does to me to some degree, but looks didn't factor in to me as high as I was factoring it on the apps. Mm-hmm. And so I would look at someone and be like, if I knew this was the most dazzling person to be around, would I want to hook up with them?
Yeah.
So that to me changed. Also, all this to say, I feel like I'm dating the hottest person ever. So I didn't feel like I had to like lower the bar.
Yeah.
But Justin did not put his hot pictures online. Mm. He specifically did not. We've talked about it since. And I was like, I think you're way hotter in person than your profile showed. In his profile, I loved that he looked really kind and smiley and nice and cute. He looked cute, but mostly he just looked so sweet. And I was like, I really want to meet this person. And then looking through his photos before we met, before our first date, there was one photo, it was the last photo that I looked at. And I was like, I think this dude's super, like, secretly really hot. It was like a bunch of different angles, or he was smiling, or he was talking, and it was hard to tell what he really looked like. He was definitely cute enough. But I was like, I think this dude's actually really hot. Met in person, can confirm. But to me, like, I think if I was just looking for the hottest person ever, he didn't put up photos to reflect that. And he said that intentionally. And I ended up doing the same, where I was like, I'm not just putting up my hottie hot photos in the best photo that's ever taken of me, because what if I don't look like that in person?
Yeah.
Also, like, I want to have enough of my personality coming through. So, like, if you feel like you're limiting... Maybe you're limiting your type, or, you know, I don't usually go for motorcycle guys, but I'm looking at this motorcycle guy. And if I knew he had the most charming, delightful, kind heart ever, would I still be attracted enough to him? Then that's like the filter to me to just go and meet in person.
Totally. Yeah. It's only to go to the first date. Like, there's so many steps after that. Yeah, I've heard that a lot. And I think I tried to do it too when I was on the apps, is like making your pictures reflect like what you're most self-conscious about. Like, I was,
that's true.
I always felt self-conscious about my body in dating, and like, oh, if I'm like a curvier girl, is that going to attract guys? And so I kind of at some point decided, like, instead of choosing the pictures on my profile where I look skinny because of like the angle and because of the outfit and whatever, I'm not going to choose my worst photos either, but I'm going to choose ones that look more just like me.
Because those are the guys you want to go out with, a guy who likes a curvy me. Girl.
Yeah, and who likes what I look like. Exactly. So let me have this filter. Represent me. Like, yeah, no filters, not like the best, like, oh, not I the mean, worst angles, but
I'm
not
saying
the best angles.
You should filter them. Filter them out.
Oh, yes,
that,
exactly.
That's the exact advice. I talked about this on the pod.
Yes.
The thing I felt so insecure about, a million things, but the biggest thing I didn't know how to fit into dating was being a YouTuber. It was always so weird. I cannot tell you how weird and how uncomfortable it was so many times. And then eventually Jess was like, do you talk about it on your profile? I specifically hit it. I would hit it to like the hide it to like the third date. I would just tell people I was a video editor or I was an interior designer. I wouldn't say. And then it was always weird. And Jess was like, put it on your profile so they can look it up. They can check it out. They can decide if it's a deal breaker for you. You won't end up on a date with those people.
Right.
By the time you end up on a date with them,
you have to weed them out.
Those are people who are already on board with it. And actually, it meant they could go and look at my YouTube, probably get a more better idea of my personality. And the first time I finally put that on my channel or on my profile, the first date I went on with Justin.
Yeah.
Was with Justin. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it's such an easy thing to fall into, to like put the things that are the most quote unquote attractive or that we like the most about ourselves. And obviously you want to be putting your best foot forward, but like this is putting my best foot forward. Me being... looking what I look like.
Because you're proud of how you look.
Is like something I like.
And I'm proud of my job.
And you're proud of your job. Like ultimately else, in our lives with our friends and, you know, people who care about us, like those are things about us that we like and own and are make us who we are. But they're things when you're dating that you are, it's very easy to get critical of yourself and get awkward about. And
what if they don't like it?
What if they don't like
then
it?
Then don't fucking date
make
them.
Make those things the things that are on your profile.
Yeah. And I will say, by that I don't mean you should lead. I fucking hate that fucking stupid quip about like, if you don't let me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best. Bitch, everyone should be working on their worst things.
Yeah.
Like everyone should be working on that. I don't think everyone you love needs to bear the burden of you just being like, well, this is my worst and you have to love it. Like, no, we're all working on ourselves. And you particularly, that is particularly not a reasonable burden for someone who doesn't know you. Like if I have horrible qualities and no, I don't
I'm
think,
nodding, sorry.
I don't think you lead with those. I think you learn to love and work with those based on the rest of the package. So I think the filter here is like, put the things on. You're afraid someone doesn't like XYZ about you, but it is important to you. It is core to you and you have love somewhere for it. That should go on.
Yes, well said. Well summarized. Yes.
You guys are dating app queens.
Not at all. Those were terrible times. And,
but you made it out. That's what I'm saying. You made it out alive.
It's much easier to look at in retrospect and be like, oh, this would have gone way better. Or I wish I had done this differently. Or, okay, finally, when it worked and I met my boyfriend, like, this is how it was approached, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, it's so much harder when you're in it.
The hardest thing I felt, I still didn't know how well I was doing it by the end, but I felt it was so hard to figure out how I was coming across. I found that like, I didn't know how a photo was being interpreted. I was like, is this a cute photo or is this an ugly photo? Is this a silly photo or is this a personality photo? I could not fucking tell. Mm-hmm. Also, like one thing I felt like, I think a big part of my personality for people who like me is they like my humor. And I could not for the fucking life of me figure out how to put that on my profile because I am not a joke writer. When I was in the comedy world for a while, it became very clear there's so many different versions of comedy or just humor in general. And I am not a joke writer. I'm not an SNL joke writer. That is, I'm not a skit writer. That's not my talent. Bless you, bitch. If I'm funny to you, it's like a situational thing.
Right.
It's like an attitude or a weirdness. It's not a punchline or a joke. So I could not figure out how to get that on a profile. And just in a million different ways. You know, I think sometimes people like have their friends look at their profile for them or tell them how it's coming across. Or I thought it was really interesting. I've talked a lot with Justin about how he would read women's profiles or how he thought about compiling his own. And it's just so hard to know what people are getting from what you think you're showing them.
Right. Which is why it should honestly be less about what you are trying to show them and just more about the things that you that are important to you.
I know. I just didn't even know how to relay those things.
I know. Well, that's true. That's true. Yeah. But I guess it's like relaying them in an honest, in a way that feels honest or true to you or something. Or also just knowing that like you're going to end up on the dates and then they're going to find out.
That's why I always wanted to just get to the date.
Yeah.
I'm like, are you brain dead? Are you, do you have a face?
Yeah, cool. Let's just find out.
Let's find out.
For the love of God.
Please.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so this is, I'm going to be you guys, okay?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Wait, do an impression.
Do Caroline.
Do an impression of Jess and of me.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know what, if I do something consistent.
I know. I feel I know like what with, you do. Yeah, with Caroline, it would just be like, okay, that's our show, and you listened, and that's on you. Yeah. So, you, what's her Instagram again? What's the, do you, is it not,
it's not for, for the number four? The number four, everyone pod.
Hey, you guys are making me sound so stupid.
No, you're usually very clear at it. yeah, but anyway, that was our show.
Leave us a review.
Do Jess.
Jess would just be like, yeah. Leave us a review at
formal.
Yeah. She, formal. Not for the number four, everyone pod.
That's so your voice.
That's so, so British. So and leave British. Us a review. And also, what else? Buy our merch.
Yeah,
and
I say all the things. Yeah. I list them all. Yeah. You can do whatever you want, but thanks for being here. Good day.
Good day.
So.
Are you comfy? Do you need a pillow? Do you want a pee-pee?
Yeah, that would be a good pillow.
We call these pee-pees.
That's a pee-pee.
Okay. Who does?
Me.
We. And the spirits. And the spirits that live here. Yes.